Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This Lamb. And we welcome you to the June 1st Thursday meeting of the AEN Candidacy Preparation Training. And we will start with prayer. We have everyone on speaker, so we ask that you put your phone on mute until you're ready to dialogue with the location. And so we're going to ask if Elder Parker will start us in prayer today.
Good evening, Elder Parker.
Yes, sir.
Our Father, we come before you in thanksgiving this evening. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. We thank you for this day, God, that you have made. And we shall rejoice in it regardless of the circumstances. Father, we ask that you bless each ear, heart, mind of all those that are on there, God, and those that are away. We intercede, oh God. We do what you have us to do in your Son's precious name this evening. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elder. Thank you. And remember, we're going to take our phone on mute when we're not speaking. So we do. We welcome you to this session, this phone session for the candidates for 2017 for the AEN, the Apostolic Ecumenical Network. We want to structure our class, that session, so that when we start each day that we're on the phone, we will start with reviewing the scriptural preparation given to us by the prophet, and then we will go to our presenters for our accountability for the week. So we want to start with the scriptural preparation scripture. This teaching should guide you in the path that your vision and your mission will take you. Keeping this study and these examples before your eyes will redirect you, renew you, and revive you when you would get weary or discouraged, when you feel overwhelmed in ministry or misunderstood and alone. These scriptural teachings were presented to you as decrees and declarations by the prophet at the beginning of your preparation for elevation. So all of you should be studying them and getting revelation from them and making them your banner, your flag, as you take up your torch for God and run with it. For scripture says, for your vision to write it down and make it plain so that those that read it will run with it. And that is part of the assignment that was you were tasked to do, to write your mission and vision. And this study of these four areas are designed to help you clarify and take hold of this new season in your life. And so with this preparation time for today, we have, last week actually, we did Genesis, Noah's assignment. And my prayer is that you will have the spirit of Noah for your assignment, one that no matter what the opposition is, you forge ahead, trusting God, reviewing the vision he's given to you, staying true to it, and going forward. as our presenters had presented that to us on last week. And then really the first presentation was done by our own Pastor Hooks as he presented to you the garments. And as he presented to you the garments, it is our prayer that you will, your reverence for the holy garments that he described to us, that they will always remind you that you serve a holy God. And it's a God who requires that you be holy. You know, Leviticus 11 and 44, he says, "For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy." And then in Ephesians 1 and 4, it says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." So we do pray that as we build upon the spiritual teaching that was presented to us by Prophet Michael, that it will start unfolding a picture frame in which you can place your vision and your mission and keep it in view always, just like you glance at a picture every now and then and it reminds you of something. And that you do this with these, this study, and let it remind you of what your journey should look like. So on that, we will go into the Nehemiah scripture for provision that's brought to us by Minister Pat Wright and Elder her accountability partner, Elder Yvette Trim Jackson. Ladies, you're up.
Hello?
Hello,
yeah. Okay. I'm Minister Pat, all right, and we'll be speaking on how God makes provision for our assignment. God never gives us an assignment without equipping us with the tools we need to do it. But first, we must listen to him and wait on him. We must have a heart for the assignment. We must discern the path God alone wants us to take. Nehemiah heard of Jerusalem conditions, that the walls laid in ruin and the people stayed in trouble. The walls of Jerusalem is broken down and the gates are burned with fire. Nehemiah's body was in Persia, but his heart and his interest were in Jerusalem. Nehemiah's heart was for the thing of God. His heart was not on himself, but on others. Nehemiah was a leader. He knew he couldn't do the job alone, so he prayed. He was able to influence others to help. We as leaders need preparation. Preparation is vital. We must prepare ourselves for the difficult work. Leaders must have a big vision, and Nehemiah had one. We must have a vision, a goal that is big enough. God has given everyone an assignment. An assignment is to fulfill a position to which a person is assigned, and God has perfectly fit us to succeed in his assignment. As leaders, we must recognize and embrace the assignment God has given us. First, God placed a word in our spirit. He gives us revelation. And as our lives surround that revelation, it comes to life within us. First, we must look inside ourselves and know what God has said to us. What is your passion? What excites you? Once you know your assignment, you must focus wholeheartedly completing the task God has entrusted to you. You must also be able to assess what is right and what is wrong, what is working and what is not working. You must be willing to change. You must listen to the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us. You must be willing to make critical choices. And so Nehemiah, he fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. His reaction went beyond an immediate emotion. But when it is from the Lord, it will abide and grow, and the burden will remain until the problem that prompts the burden is solved. We should do as Nehemiah did. He did it not complaining. He intensely sought God in every situation. Nehemiah had a clear understanding of who he prayed to. Prayer is essential to being a leader. So for 4 months, Nehemiah fasted and prayed before doing anything. And later, when the word of rebuilding the wall actually began, it only took 52 days to finish the job. That 52-day project had a four-month foundation of prayer. And I remember a saying that faith is the key, but prayer unlocks the door. Nehemiah took his pain and stress to God in prayer, and he left it there. Isaiah 40:31 says, "They that wait upon the Lord, he will renew our strength. We shall mount up with wings as eagles. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint." Prayer will give us strength when you wait on the Lord in prayer. He will renew our strength. And as God, we must ask God to perform his promise. And when we don't know what to say, as Psalms 81:10 says, he will open our mouth and say. So in that, Nehemiah, he prayed. He poured his heart out to God. In whatever situation he was going through, he sought resources such as the knowledge and the experience and organization for God's will for the job to be done, for the walls to be rebuilt. And that is my portion of God's assignment and his provision.
Okay. Good evening.
Okay, I want to thank you so much, Minister Pat. I do want to encourage you to make sure your phone's on mute if you're not currently speaking. And if you are speaking, don't have your phone on speaker, because we're getting some back sound. And so I don't know exactly how
mine's
to
not on speaker.
It out. Okay, just put it on mute, and then we'll see, you know, how it goes forth. Okay, Minister, Elder Yvette.
Okay, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm going to come in to kind of put a conclusion wrap up on Nehemiah. You told us, Prophet Henderson gave us Nehemiah 1, verses 3 and 4 to look at it for provision. And Minister Pat kind of went through chapters 1 and 2, which talked about what brought him into this. So one of the things I want to bring out, too, is Nehemiah, what his name meant. And his name meant Yahweh comfort. So in this, when we look at this, we see how he was, it was very hurtful to him and sad because of the state that Jerusalem was in with the wall and his people, just like any of us. If we get news that back home is not doing well, that's not good. We don't want to hear that if we love them and we care about them. So in verses 3, it says, "And they said unto me, the remnants that are left," because he inquired about it, and this is what they're telling him, "that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire." So it sounds very bad. And what I'm in this, I think, for provision is letting us know that as we are called into different areas of ministry, it may seem overwhelming, not to say that it is a bad thing like he's hearing there, but to us we may feel like, oh, I'm not really qualified for this. How can I do this? Oh, no way. Some even maybe the things that they've done are in their past. But true enough, we are not able to do it ourselves. We have to go to God. If he called us, he said who he called, he will equip. And in 4, it says, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And when I looked into that, it talked about him. And when it says fasted and prayed certain days, when I ran reference on that, it was like a period of almost 2 or 3 months that he was doing this. Because we must understand, when Nehemiah got this news, he was the cupbearer for the king. So he could not just pack up because he was under the authority of the king. He had to get permission. And hearing the state of the condition that the walls were in, this was not an assignment that he would just be able to go and do in a week, a day, but it was going to take 3 years when I looked into the research. But he began to fast and pray. And as he fasted and praying, we know that fasting kills the flesh, and it heightens our sensitivity to what God wants us to know. And in prayer, communicating with God, not only talking to him and praying out and calling out to God, asking for help or how to do this, but then the prayer involved too the listening to hear what God has to tell him, because God knows how to do everything. As it says, there is nothing that's too hard for God. So in this, as we are on this journey, there are others who are over us, who God may have to grant us favor with. There are things that we need to have put in place, and we may not even be able to see how we're going to have it done. But in praying and in fasting, God will direct our path. He will grant us favor. He will take you through things that seem unable to be done. And even when others are looking at you saying, not them, they can't believe you're called or you can make this or you can do this, God will allow you to do it because he will strengthen your hand to allow you to be able to do that. So in essence, in wrapping this up, I think he has put us in place with accountability partners. We have overseer over us. There is the apostle. There are people in our lives, and certainly God, Holy Spirit, will lead and guide us in all truth direction, how to get things done, no matter what the circumstances are or whatever odds are coming against us. It's not impossible with God. And those are the things that I want to say in Nehemiah for provision. If God called us, he has the provisions for us to get it done and to get where he has called us to.
Amen. Amen. Thank you both. Are there any insights or revelations that any of the other members or accountability partners or candidates have received from reading that and from hearing the teaching as it relates to that provision? You can put your phone to dialogue, take your phone off mute, and you can share with us. Amen.
Yes, Overseer, this is Evangelist Kennedy. As they were speaking, I thought back to a sermon that Prophet Mike had teach that I received the prophecy. And on sometimes that our purpose will be held behind the wall, but as long as we approach it with the sword, that I looked at that as the word of God. because they had a weapon in one hand, but they had a sword in another hand as they were working to rebuild the inside of the wall that was a total mess. But yet they didn't lose faith and they didn't lose focus. And that just brought that back to mind as they were speaking, that no matter what oppositions come against us and no matter what look, don't allow our purpose to be held behind the wall, because we have our sword, the word of God, in one hand and our weapon in the other hand.
Amen.
Add to that?
Yes.
That. And even with that, if you look at Nehemiah, when it says that he wanted to go back and build the wall, but he had to get permission. And not only did he need permission to leave, but he also needed materials. And in praying and fasting and God going before him, because it says, you know, Christ, that God would go before us to assure our success. So when he is ahead of you and he's directing you, that's where the favor came in, because not only did he allow him to go to do the task that had to be done, but he gave him a paper or decree showing where he could get whatever materials he wanted. And it was on paper for him to show where it was or not. He say, she say. It was a thing. Here it is right here written down. I have the okay. I can get whatever it is that I say that I need to do the job to get it done. And I think that's the thing, and too, in preparing for this, God prepares whatever we need and whatever needs to be taken out of us, whatever needs to be put in us, poured into us, God already has the provision for it, and it will be done.
Amen. All right. Thank you.
And one other thing, Nehemiah also, he had position, he had power, and he had many good organization skills. But one thing, he acknowledged that God, his gracious hand was upon him. And he knew that without God's strength, his effort would be in vain. So even when we don't know what his source or his power, or feel we might can't do, I mean, we can't do it, we can give it to God. And he will do it for us. So, you know, he walked in that power and in that position.
Absolutely. And that is our prayer. That's our prayer focus as we go forward for you and on behalf of you and behalf of the kingdom and the body of Christ, that we will always remember this Nehemiah provision of God and this Noah assignment on God and what it means when we are called to do a task. And I believe that in all these things, one of the elements that is present in all of them is the fact that they don't do it alone, but there are those that are walking beside them to assist them in doing it. With Noah, it was his family. With Nehemiah, it was the king, as well as some of the other remnants that had been left. And so this brings us to our second time of presentation for accountability partners. You're not walking alone. We're not supposed to. And that there are those that have made a commitment, just like those two sets made a commitment to the leader that had the task to walk alongside them, and as with the king, to provide Nehemiah with what he needed. And so there are elements that are involved in that we want to bring out as it relates to the function of your accountability partners. And we pray that that area of your preparation is going well. If it is not, if you have not talked with them, or if there's something that you would like to see happen in the accountability partnering that you have, then you just text me at my phone number, 630-701-4303. This is for the candidates as well as the accountability partners, because you have a passion for your candidate to be successful, to successfully and to prayerfully and joyfully go through this process. And so we will go into our presentation for this week, which is coming from Elder Edward Parker and Pastor Antoine Harrington. And their topic is surrendered to the process and that element to change our mindset comes from Philippians 4, 5 through 7. You are up now. We will hear from them.
Good evening, Elder Parker speaking.
Good evening.
Surrender to the process. Philippians 4, 5 through 7. And it reads, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, so keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." What this means is, first we see how that Paul began to address them, and he began to tell them about moderation. He saw something, he experienced something, he lived something, and that was selfishness. And so he see what selfishness brought him to the place and what point he had to get to in order to really realize that his selfishness didn't mean anything to nobody but himself. And then again, it also says a respect for others. And we as believers, we are expected to have moderation as Christian leaders. But it also lets us know that in order for something to be seen, something to be shown, I have to have something. You see, the prodigal son, he knew his father had something, and his father gave him all that he had, but he had to get to a place and a point in his life where they weren't there, they weren't available, and he had to surrender. In other words, he came to his senses. He couldn't do the thing that he did when he had the natural substance. And you see, it's like that sometimes because of our knowledge, because of our ability. We take that and think we gain the world, but you see, there comes a place and a point in time in our lives, like Paul, like the prodigal son. I don't have a thing. But since I don't have anything, I remember there's a man that gave me all the things that I needed to get out there and go and get. But you see, in spite of all of that, when he came back, he had to humble himself. He had to surrender to the process of he had created, the process of becoming a positive individual going forward. And you know he had critics out there. And what he has to do, knowing that he had to die to self, not his will, as we always say, but his God will be done in our lives. Is it easy? No. But is it hard? No. As long as we continue to die, to crucify ourselves daily, as we were saying earlier about having those over us. Yes, it's great, it's good, everything is in its proper perspective. But our love for the brethren, our love for each other shouldn't be discriminated. Our love should just be better off, getting better or growing. I always want to esteem a brother or a sister more so than myself. Having certain experience in our lives brings us to a place and a point where we begin to realize what God has really done for us. We begin to walk heady and high-minded, and we get in positions or places where we sometimes, those that aren't where we are, have the mind sometimes says, well, I can't really talk to them, but we need to be practical. We need to just be downright out real with people. We must not be self-centered. You know, when we respect others, others respect us. It says in verse 6, and we know that prayer is the antidote for worry. We can also say that worry hinders our ability to think. You know, that's why we need to pray. We need to go to him. We need to tell him what's going on in our lives. Lord, this is going on. Lord, why am I going through this? Why is this happening? You know, sometimes we have to, we learn sometimes when we come into Christ, and then we have to get unlearned, and that's a process. And I find out that that process is a better process because I'm more stable in Christ. The word allows me, give me more stability. It helps me to stand better grounds. More we understand, the more we can do. Surrendering to a process, especially when it's not self-will, it hurts. But we got to surrender. Did the prodigal son want to come back home? No. Did he know that people were going to criticize and look at him? Yes. But we as leaders, nobody did to ourselves, but we just answer the call of God, and it's not regretful. The process hurt, yeah, but we know that we are being made by God. As it says in Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth is his handiwork, the process. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Now, is your accountability partner, Pastor Antoine, on the line?
Yes, ma'am, I am. Good evening, everyone.
Well, good evening.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So I'm going to read the scripture, and I'm excited about all that I've heard and taken in, and I'm just thoroughly impressed with what God is doing through this process for everyone that's on the line. And I'm going to share the scripture, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible in Philippians 4, 5-7. Let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your heart and your minds in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Is yours. Yes.
Yes, it is. Yes,
Jesus.
Yes, it is. You must claim it.
Declare it. Claim it. Yes.
Yes.
As I'm hearing this, and I was just mulling over this scripture, and the Lord just continued to speak in my spirit that everything that we do in life is a process. And many times we tend to evade process, or we hate just the notion of a process because we are so end result focused. And we miss steps in the process. And many times as we miss steps in the process, we find ourselves having to repeat the process. And I don't just say that just out of words. I know this from personal experience. And
amen.
One of the things that the Lord has impressed in my spirit is that as we go through the process, and there will be portions of the process that are displeasing to us, it doesn't feel good to our flesh, and we want to, our natural instinct is to reject it or to fight against the process. But there are some things that the Lord clearly laid out to us in the scripture. First of all, embracing the gentleness as we go through the process. Sometimes we have to find ourselves relinquishing who we are. The first step is to surrender. What does it mean to surrender? To give up, to give over, to relinquish, to abdicate, or to forego the authority. We understand and know that we stand under authority. We stand under the authority of God. We stand under the authority of leadership. And we understand and know that those that are in position of a leadership or authority over us have our best interests at heart. So as we're going through God's process, as we're surrendering to a process, we understand that God's intended intent is only to bring the best out of us. It's not to harm us. It's not to hurt us, but only to bring us to the expected end that Jeremiah 29:11 talks about. And then when we look at what a process is, it's a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. The Lord has an end in mind when he set us on our path. Each one of us has an individual path that comes together for a collective collaboration, and the Lord ultimately wants us to go for it and carry the gospel, to be the light in darkness, to share the gospel to those who are bound up, who are hurting, who are oppressed, who experience in life circumstances. We ourselves have experienced life circumstances so that we can become the testimony and the light to others to let them know that you don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to die in that position. There is an end result that's coming for you. And I hear the Lord say, as we continue to look at the surrender portion of our process, there is something that I want for you. There is an end that I'm trying to get you to. And as you surrender, as you abdicate, as you give over to me, you don't lose anything in the process. It's all to gain. And many times we look as God is peeling away things, as he's peeling the onion of our lives, as he's taking off layers of sin, layers of transgression, layers of affliction, layers of of all those manner of things, there is yet something greater that's coming. So what you lose in the process only promotes you to a place of understanding that my best is yet to come. When we look at the olive, we don't get extra virgin olive oil simply by the olive going through a simple process. Ultimately, the olive is pressed and pulverized. It loses its initial state only to come to its best state. Sometimes God will apply pressure and allow pressure to be applied to areas of our lives only that we can get the best, that he can get the best out of us. And the best is not just necessarily for us, but it's for those that are in our sphere of influence, for those that we have been commissioned and commanded to speak into their lives, to be leaders over. And so as we look at what God is calling us to in this process, we look at the reality of it is, it's not about me. It's ultimately that God's plan is made evident in my life, that his purpose and will is made manifest, and those that are meant to be impacted receive that impact. Couple scriptures I wanted to share in reference to that. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So as we look at our process, and many times we look at the process and we hate the process because it feels painful to our flesh. But as Elder Parker stated, our flesh has to die daily. So in that process, this pain means nothing because the ultimate eternal glory that's coming, the manifestation of God's presence in the earth realm will ultimately change lives and impact lives. So that's what this process means and is about for us. And then there's one more in 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. When we start to look at that end result, when we start to focus and change our mindset that what I'm going through, what I'm experiencing, this journey, this path, this process only is ushering me to an eternal place in Christ, and that eternal place has dependencies. Somebody is dependent upon my process for them to be able to move. They can't achieve their place until I take the next step. And so when we look at the surrender process, we're bringing others with us. Our process has the ability and the potential to impact others. And so we need to be mindful of those things as we submit and we surrender. It's just no different. When the police pull us over, what do? The first thing we do is lift up our hands. We give up control. We lose ourselves in order that we can actually make it through that scenario. Same thing in God. We submit. We lift up our hands. We lose ourselves. It's never been about us. It's ultimately pointing and directing to our Father, and he has a purpose and an intended plan through our process. Amen.
Well, amen, Pastor. Thank you so much for that sermon. And we are
amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe it is the spirit of our coming together that is to birth this passion, to draw it out of you, which is why these are sons and daughters of AEN LLC. And they've gone through the process you've gone through, and God has tried them in the fire, the furnace, and he's purging them and perfecting them. And so we encourage you to continue. And as we do our next stage of this phone conversation, I'm going to read off the list of the 2017 candidates and the offices into which you are being elevated. And then we will talk about some of the requirements of different aspects of your ordination. There are certain terms and things that I believe you need to become familiar with, so when you hear them, you'll understand what they mean as it relates to the AEN and this organization that is conferring this upon you. And also we want to be able to give you a word so that when you're questioned and when you're asked, you can give a good answer. So as those that have been recommended and referred by your leaders to go through this process through the AEN, this is the list for 2017. Apostle Des Katie Pierce as an apostle, and I believe as of yesterday, she is not Apostle Katie, Apostle Des anymore, but in Jerusalem, in the Jordan, she received her consecration. She will also be a part of the service in August, but we're very excited about that elevation, Apostle Katie Pierce. We have Sister Margaret James as an evangelist being licensed. Minister Katie Smith, an evangelist with the anointing for the youth. Minister Sherita Tate, an elder of administration. Pastor Dialtro Ford as a pastor. Elder Wendell Winslow, the tongue twister there, as a pastor being licensed and ordained. Minister Patricia Wright as an elder in the area of adjutancy. Elder Edward Parker as an elder being licensed and ordained. Pastor Melvin Avante as pastor emerging license only. Evangelist Geneva Milton as an outreach pastor. Kalitha Winfrey Johnson as an elder being licensed and ordained. Kamisha Barrett as an elder being licensed and ordained. Minister April Young as an elder being licensed and ordained. Mildred Bailey, a pastoral counselor, being licensed and ordained. Pastor Patricia Murphy, as a teacher, she will be conferred that office upon. Minister Talitha Cousins, as an elder with a prophetic intercessory ministry, being licensed and ordained. And Kika Christian, as a minister, conferring the office of a teacher and youth, teacher for youth. And then Jamal Mullins, as a deacon, being licensed only. Those are the candidates for elevation for 2017. If you have any questions, you can always call me. We can share information with you. We will have an in-depth presentation of these offices by our Bishop Nathaniel Isaac when he comes back from the Bible land. But just a few terms that I want you to be introduced to as it relates to how they are held as it relates to LFCAEN. Licensed ministers are authorized to perform communion and baptism in their local assembly with an ordained officer present, and they can be ordained in the year to come. So once you receive your license as a minister in whatever office, there is a year of preparation to receive an ordination in that area. And that process is individualized as to the things that would be required for you to do for your final ordination. Ordained clergy permits the minister to perform church rites and sacraments, such as baptism, legal marriages, and funerals. Each denomination sets its own policy for distinguishing between the two, licensed and ordained, but in many cases, religious organizations consider ordained ministers to be permanent. The AEN requires yearly renewal for licensed clergy. While licensed clergy members may only be valid for a specific period of time, which is why they must be renewed. For tax purposes, the IRS requires both licensed and ordained ministers as clergy. They look upon you as clergy, although they may require additional standards when determining whether a clergy person is subject to special tax. And those are things that you come to the AEN. This is the kind of information that we share with those members and of the AEN so that they stay in compliance. And then consecrated clergy are licensed and ordained leaders who are being set apart for elevation into the office of apostle, prophet, bishop, and overseer. The terms that you should just familiarize yourself with, you may hear them from time to time in our gatherings as it relates to individuals. But if you're liturgical, that means it's a part of the body of rites that are prescribed for public worship. So the things that are necessary established for public worship. If apostolic is the word that's in front of your office, we have an apostolic evangelist. And that means that your gift is to the kingdom, not just to a local church. Emerging pastors are lay workers who have not been previously ordained, but have the call or gift of pastor or pastoring, and they have to undergo a 2-year process. After their first year, they receive the title of emerging pastor, and then once they complete their process that's been personalized for them, they go into the office of a pastor. They are required to be an accountability partner in the second year, along with certain requirements such as certain projects they will be assigned, individual assignments, and leadership conferences that will be required to attend. Deacons and ministers train for 2 years for the LFC members that are becoming deacons and or ministers. There's a training process that takes 2 years. This doesn't apply to those who are being ordained because you have been recommended by your local pastor. They set the parameter and as to how long they want your preparation to last beyond your first year with Labors for Christ AEN ordination. So hopefully those are terms that will help clarify going forward that which you are going to be exposed to, expected of, those things will be expected of you. Are there any questions, concerns, comments, insights? You can take your phone off of mute and dialogue with us.
I had a question. So from the list that you get off, there are 18.
I'm sorry?
There are 18?
Yes.
Candidates. Okay.
You know what? And I left one off. I am so sorry, Pastor Harrington. Pastor Harrington is being consecrated as the chief adjutant. And he will be our officer of protocol par excellence. We're very excited about that. Please accept my
Amen.
I forgot to put you on my list.
Amen.
So you were asking if there were 18?
I said 18, but you put one more, so it's 19, correct? There are 19?
There are probably, I would say, 20. We have... Sister Genesis.
I think it's 21.
We have Sister Genesis Dixon. but I don't know the office in which she is being elevated into. But she is a part of our process. Now, if you're on the line and you did not hear your name, please speak up now so that I can correct and update my information. Thank you. Anybody on the line that's a candidate that did not hear their name? It's okay because it just means my record.
This is a meeting. Speak, speak, speak. Or forever hold your peace.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this is Elder Yvette. I wanted to make sure I had the correct number because as of now, I believe I only have 7 mission and vision statements. So,
absolutely.
Mercy, Lord. I guess that's grace.
So, you know, I don't know if they are written and I haven't gotten them, but if you need help, you know, reach out.
Amen. And we're going to, I've given that list, and so we're going to, one of the things, Elder Yvette, I can truly say that half of our list is in the Promised Land. And so as a result, they weren't available. However, before they went, they should have turned it in. We do have understand that, I'm trying to look at the date. When was it due? Lord, my thing that was little.
It was changed
to April the 10th.
Originally,
okay.
It was due in June, but we changed it to April the 10th.
Right. So we'll give you to June since it originally was June. But we do pray that this teaching and this coming together gives you a better comfort level in preparing your work and turning your work in. That is very important. When I look down the list of individuals, you know, I am seeing that some have had medical issues, and we understand we're not trying to be army and rigid, but we do need you to contact us and let us know. So we do have some that are extremely outstanding, and we do expect for them to come through. And one of the things that we can do for individuals, some of the work that they were in the units of CCTI, and depending on those that work that you did for CCTI, oftentimes you can submit it to us, and it will count toward different things. So just when you took your gift assessment, you had to write about, you know, what is the mission in your life and that sort of thing with CCTI. If you submit that to us, then it can go towards meeting that requirement. So you can always call if you have questions, if you did something and you're wondering if perhaps that will be acceptable. I'm trying to look at the list of who hasn't. I could call off names. And then I know some started in this process late. I understand that. And we do pray that by the 10th, you're caught up with everything because you do need to start with your defend your faith and your theological questions. That is without compromise. Those are things that you must submit. And you should give it ample time to go through them. I wanted to kind of look at the defend your faith. We have actually we have 3 sets. When we talked about consecrated, ordained, and licensed individuals, each one of those comes in a certain group. If you've never gone through an ordination before, then you're in group 1. If you've never gone through an ordination, But you do an ordinate, I mean our process, our LSC AEN process, then you're in group one. But if you come with a title and you want an elevation, then you're not in group one, you become group two. And those that are being consecrated are group three. So those that are in group one are the ones generally that will be presenting our accountability partner presentations because they're new at this. This is their first go-through. Those that do some of the other teaching, as the spiritual teaching from Prophet Mike, that group of individuals has gone through already, and they are group two. And so those that are in group one must answer the defend your faith. And you receive that electronically from Minister Sharita, and it includes approximately, let's see how many questions. It seems like 40 questions, but for instance, and you need to make a note of this in your notebook, question 40 has 12 parts, and each part, bare minimum, should be at least a paragraph, at least, because they are the doctrines of. I don't know how well you can summarize, but you definitely have to get all of the points of the doctrines of in there. And then you have question 12. This question is defining certain terms in salvation, and it's approximately 20. So that's another, at least a paragraph of definition explanation that you're giving. So even though it says 40 questions, I would say you would clearly have at least 60 that you need to answer and answer fully, not with just one sentence or one word, but fully. You have question 31. Bare minimum is actually a three-part, requires a three-part answer. And so just if you, I pray that you look through it and realize those things that are you're being asked to address, and then that you have the proper research information to do it with. You can go online, but I encourage you to have some kind of reference book. And if you go online, make sure you get two or three sources that say the same thing, that gives you the same outlook, so that you're sure to have one that is authentic and acceptable. And so you're going to get to do, preferably you've been starting on your Defend Your Faith, or if you're in group two, your theological question. The theological questions are somewhat similar to the Defend Your Faith. However, they are more theological in nature in that they are, why is the Bible divided into chapters and verses? So it's not like, what do you mean? Now, for the theological question, you are presented with approximately 100. From that 100, you have to 100. You have to answer. I'm sorry, 100 questions. And from the list, you can choose in each one of the categories which questions you want to answer. Each category has approximately 100 questions in it. You can go through the questions, pick out 10 that you want to answer, and they would be a part of your presentation. And you'd have to do that 10 times. For the theology proper, questions about God, questions about Jesus, questions about the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so there are different areas of theology that are being you're presenting answers to. So prayerfully you've started to look at those things and started cultivating a progress or a schedule in order to get them all done. So before we go, I want to tell the are there any questions, concerns, comments?
Excuse me, Overseer.
Yes.
This is Evangelist Kennedy. I didn't get the change of date. So, Evangelist Margaret will have hers. I did not get the change of date. I thought it was due on June 10th. And
that's fine.
Evangelist Margaret. Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Overseer?
Good. Yes.
Yes. I don't have, we can go for Jeff. I don't have that accountability list in front of me. I don't know if you have yours for whoever would be up next. That would be,
yes,
I guess,
right.
Like in the country, if it's still going to be, if that's still going to be an issue. I'm not sure when they're coming back.
Yes. No, we're going to, I will give out the assignments for next week, the presenters
okay, no
for
problem.
Accountability.
Thank you.
No problem. The accountability partners that will be presenting for June 8th will be, I have to make sure I get her name right, Kaita Winfrey Johnson and Lady Minister Jantez Harrington. They will be presenting the accountability element of non-judgmental coming from Matthew 7, 1 through 2, and then coming for our First Samuel Passion in our scriptural, spiritual presentation will be Minister April Young and Elder Dr. Arlette Parker. All right. Questions, comments, concerns?
This is Minister Kaita.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, could you restate the scripture again? You said Matthew 7.
Yes.
1 through 2.
Kaita is Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Non-judgmental.
Mental, okay.
What you're doing is defining the element of being non-judgmental as it relates to accountability partnering. Okay?
All right.
Any more questions? Good questions. Any more questions? Concerns? Anybody on the line whose name I did not call, other than Genesis Dixon? Okay. All right. Wow. Well, praise God. I do want to be mindful and a good steward of your time. It is a one-hour meeting. And prayerfully, we're not trying to jam too much in it. But they're exciting. It's an exciting time, and we're going to ask Pastor Harrington to close us out in prayer.
Yes, ma'am. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We bless you. We magnify you. We give you glory. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship, this time of ministry, this time of understanding, this time of clarity. Father, we thank you for the ministry gift and Overseer Paulette. Father, we thank you for her yielding her members, God, to be able to be used of you. Father, we thank you for every candidate, every accountability partner. Father, we thank you, God, for their submission to this process. And Father, we pray that you would continue to lead, God, and direct them into all truths. Father God, we pray for 100% accurate recall of everything that you would have us, God, and that we will begin to purge out things that are not like you, and, Father, that we will yield our members so that you can be glorified in all that we do. Father, we pray for the apostolic presbytery that is abroad, and we pray for your blood covering over them, that you would give them traveling mercy and grace. And, Father, we pray, God, that they will have safe return, and, God, they will come back and make impartation into us. Father, we honor you and we bless you for the apostolic network. Thank you for the coming together of these believers. And, Father, for that which they will advance the kingdom. We declare now and we decree, God, that every place that our feet shall tread upon, we will possess it for the kingdom. And we thank you for kingdom expansion happening as a result of these that are on this line tonight. We honor you and we bless you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to see who got off. 2822862. This is 6-1.
What?
Yeah, see, was. And then 7-8-1 off. But she can't. 7-8. Okay, we have taken attendance.